Okay, so we wanted to see a sugya. We should have really seen it last time. I was reminded to me at the end that we forgot. Before we see the sugya, that mem test on the base, it's really a tosfos that we need to see there. Let's just remind ourselves again on the tosfos of lamed test amud aleph. The main points in the tosfos, and there's one particular point that we need to see in the tosfos and that mem test on the base. If you remember, we touched on a subject which was a bit by the by, because it wasn't really our topic, but the Gemara mentioned it, and it's a very important topic. We were discussing the subject of Rabbi Yechon, who ate a kazayas and he made a brocha, and the Gemara was very bothered because there was no shiur. And the Gemara says there was a shiur. Now, Tosfos says that when we talk about shiur, we are only ever discussing brocha achreino, because the brocha rishoino, there is no shiur. Whatever amount of food you have, it's irrelevant whether it's a food or a drink. You always make a bracha rishoina. So when the Gemara talks about a shiur, clearly the topic is a bracha achreina. Why is it also to eat? Why must you make a bracha under all circumstances, bracha rishoina? This is the principle we saw at the beginning of the parable, because you're not allowed to benefit from this world without making a bracha, and it's irrelevant what amount you're eating. That was the first point. Tosfos says, however, when you're talking about the bracha achreino, then that's when the Gemara told you there's a shir. And what is the shir? If it's food, it is a kazayis, and if it is drink, it is a meloi lugmov. That was the point that we saw in Tosfos. Now, the Ri came along. Tosfos quotes the Ri. And Tosfos says that actually, shame the Ri, Boirei Nefoshos would be an exception, because Boirei Nefoshos is not a bracha chashuva. It is the one size fits all bracha, as it were, the bracha that's parava, that's neutral, it fits everything. And if it's a bracha which is not chashuv, so too, even if you eat or drink an amount which is not chashuv, you still make that bracha. Therefore, if somebody had a very small cup of water or a small piece of meat, etc., 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 even though that's a very small amount and it's less than a kazayis, seeing as the brocha achreina is bayrenei nefashos, so the re maintained, therefore even a small amount would require that brocha. When do we say that you need a shear, therefore, for brocha achreina? When it's not bayrenei nefashos, it's alamichyo, or it is brikas amozin. That was the point of the Ri, and Tosfos disagreed. Tosfos very strongly disagreed. Then we saw the whole discussion there with regard to a barrier, because the Yerushalmi spoke about the concept of a barrier, which would require bracha achreina even if there was actually no shear eaten. The Bavli did not talk about barrier. There was a discussion, does that mean there's a machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi, in which case we would obviously go with the Bavli, or perhaps not. But over here, for whatever reason, it was not considered a barrier, because it had been salted, and therefore it's not really sholim, as it were, in the first place, and that's why we didn't discuss barrier, but there's no actual machlokes. The last halacha that we've discussed there, also, which is by the by, so he spoke about when you have a bracha on a fruit, and on the fruit you were just about to eat, and what happened? It dropped, and it got dirty or spoiled, and you have to make a bracha on a new one. The answer is yes, you do have to make a bracha on a new one. Why? Because you are planning on eating apple number one, not apple number two. If when you made your bracha from the outset you were planning on eating a number of apples, then obviously you would not need to make a second bracha. The Yerushalmi says, what about the amas hamayim, the stream of water? You bent down to take a cup of water from the stream, and then the water flowed down, and then you end up actually drinking different water, and then it says that you don't make a new bracha. The Yerushalmi says that's very different, because over there you expected the water to flow. Therefore, quite frankly, when you made a bracha in the first place, you knew full well that it wasn't necessarily beyond the water that was in front of you, it might be on different water. Whereas when you're holding a pri in your hand, the last thing you expected is for it to drop, and therefore you only had kavana for that pri. That was basically a brief summary of Tosfos Daf Lamed Test Amud Aleph. Now, have a look at that Tosfos again. and you see on the second narrow line where it says V'hori hoya oimer. Yeah, you see that line? So he says V'hori hoya oimer, that Bore Nefoshos is different. Now you see next to the word V'hori there's a little circle. If there's a little circle which is semi-filled in, that's always a note. So look in the margin, in Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in Gilyon Hashas. So look in Gilyon Hashas, and you'll see where it says, you see where it says Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil Botzar. You have that? That's our Tosfos, because our Tosfos begins with the words Botzar. But look, not at that note, but at the next note, Beis Aleph Dalad. Have you got Beis Aleph Dalad stands for Ba'oisai Dibur. Ba'oisai Dibur means in that same piece. Dibur HaMaschil, the piece that begins with the following words, and now Ba'oisai Dibur, and Rabbi Kivega says V'hari Hoya Oima, etc. Ayin Lakamon Memtes on the Beis Toisus Dibur HaMaschil V'Rebbeya. So this is where we got the Maramokim from. Rabbi Kivega says, have a look in Tosfos and Daf Mem Tes on the base, the Masel of Rabbeinu. Fine, so we'll obey Rabbi Kivega's instructions. So let's have a look there. It's a short piece of the Gemara. I don't really want to launch into the whole Gemara in great depth, because not really our discussion, but some of it is. It actually refers to the Mishnah. So before we see Mem Tes, I know we're jumping about a little bit, but have a look at the opening Mishnah of that Perek. Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph. It's talking about Zimun, Shlosha Sha'ochlu, three people who sit together Chayv B'Zimun. The last line of that Mishnah says as follows. Ad Kamo Mezamnin. What is the amount that one has to eat in order for there to exist a Chayv Zimun? Ad Kezayis and Rabbi Yudayim Ad Kebeitz. Either a kezayis, which is a smaller amount, that is the opinion of the Tanakama, which the Gemara in Daf Mem Tes on base tells us is actually Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says a kezayis, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, it's got to be more than that, it's got to be a kebeitz. Okay. Now look in the Gemara Daf Mem Tes on the base. And the Gemara says as follows, Ad kamo mezamnin, what is the amount for doing zimun? And you got the Gemara, it is the seventh last narrow line. Lameimra, is this to say, the Rabbi Meir choshev leikazayis, the Rabbi Yehuda kebeitza? It would seem to be that there's a machlokes going on over here. What's considered a choshev amount? The first opinion, i.e. the opinion of Rabbi Meir, seems to be that what? A choshev amount is a kezayis, and if one eats a kezayis, even though that's not a lot, certainly not kebeitza, but it's choshev enough to require a zimun. Whereas the second opinion of Yehuda seems to maintain that no, a choshev amount is only considered a beitza. That seems to be the indication. Problem is, says the Gemara, v'ha'ipcha shaminon lehu. But we've actually learned to the absolute contrary. Why? Because it says as follows. There's a Mishnah in Pesachim, and it says as follows. V'chein mishayotza mirushalayim. Now, what does this mean? So, jump immediately to Rashi, third top line. Rashi fills us in. What is the subject over here? Rashi says, mishayotza mirushalayim. La'el minei, just above that. In other words, we're sort of entering in the middle of the quote. And that's where Rashi very helpfully fills us in on the rest. Le'el minei, just above that it says, Mairi is talking about Ahoylech lishchoit es pischoi. Somebody's off to shecht his Korban Pesach. He's going to shecht his Korban Pesach. The nizkar, and he all of a sudden remembers she'esh lechomets v'tich beisei. He's got chomets in his house. So he gevalt, if I'm off to Yerushalayim to makra Korban Pesach, and I've just remembered I've got chomets at home. So im yochel lachzor, if he's able to return ulavair, what does it mean ulavair? Beer chomets, right? And to get rid of it, velachzor lemitzvosay, and then go back and do his mitzvah. Will he have time to go back home, be mevair the chomets, and then go back and still get in time to Yerushalayim to be makriv his korban Pesach? Then obviously that's what he should do. Then yachzor v'yevair. So indeed, he should go home and he should be mevayer his chametz. But if he doesn't have time, So, Baruch Hashem, we have an Eitzah. How do you get rid of your chametz without actually getting rid of your chametz? Yevatel beliboy. You mevatel chametz in your heart. And that way, even though you don't have time to go back home and then to return your Yerushalayim, it doesn't matter. You can be semich on bittul, you mevatel chametz in your heart, and you continue on your way merrily. Now, that is the first part of that braisa. And then, this is where we join. V'chein, that's why our Gemara quoted V'chein. You cannot start a sentence with the words V'chein. Why not? V'chein means and also. And also. Also what? That's why Rashi tells us, no, there was a reisha over here. We're now learning the sefer. And it says, V'chein mishayotzom Yerushalayim. If somebody was leaving Yerushalayim, v'nizkar, and you all of a sudden remembered, sheyesh b'yodai, that he has in his hand, Basar Kodesh. You're not allowed to take Basar Kodesh out of Yerushalayim. So he was in Yerushalayim, and he's on his way home, and suddenly remembers, I've got to my suitcase, I've got some Basar Kodesh. Kodesh. The Nifsal, which became possible, be Yitziyasa, Yichutz L'Chayma. As soon as he left the Chayma, he exited the walls of Yerushalayim, this Basar Kodesh became possible. This is our discussion. So look back into the Gemara. Again, fourth last narrow line, V'chein Mishayotzim Yerushalayim. That's now you understand the V'chein. Part one was, if you're on your way to Yerushalayim and you remember you've got chametz, and now you're on your way from Yerushalayim and you remember you've got karbonis in your suitcase. V'nizke shayah v'yodoy b'star kodesh. So, im ovar tzayfim, if you've passed the place called tzayfim. Now, what's significant about tzayfim? You can see the Beis HaMikdash from that point, Rashi says. Mokim shiyochel lireis beis hamikdash. If you've passed that point, sorfoi bimkoimoi, then just burn the kodshim wherever you are. Remember, you cannot eat the kodshim, and it doesn't help, by the way, to bring it back into Yerushalayim, because the minute it leaves Yerushalayim, it's become posel. So either way, you're going to have to burn it. The question is just where's the best place. So it says if you've gone past seifim, so it means that beis hamikdash is no longer in view. So wherever you are, stop and burn it on the spot. Vim lav. And if not, if you haven't yet passed Seifim, so you're still within sight of Yerushalayim, then choyzev Seifer lifnei habira. So you should go back to Yerushalayim, and you should burn it there. Now what's the point of that? Because then you could burn it me'atzei hamarocha, from the wood of the in the Marocha, which was the fire of the Beis HaMikdash, and for some reason, this is not our subject, there is an advantage of burning it there. So now, again, we're not going to get involved in Malachas of Karbonis, it's not really our discussion. So certainly we're being told that there is a stage at which we will say, you haven't gone too far, go back to Yerushalayim and burn your Basar Kodesh there. Okay, now why is this relevant to our discussion? So because of the continuation. Ad kamohim choizrim. How much would you have to go back for? If I've got this Basar Kodesh in my pocket, but it's only a very, very, very small amount, so therefore what would be the required amount for being mechuyev to go back to Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Oimer, zeh v'zeh b'kebeitzo. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, zeh v'zeh b'kezayis. What does it mean, zeh v'zeh? Because we have two cases. Either you'd have to burn it on the spot, or you go back and all the way back to Yerushalayim. But either way, what is the amount? Either a kebeitza or a kezayis. So now this is what's relevant to us. Clearly, what is the discussion over there? The discussion over there is how much meat, how much basar kodesh do you have to be considered choshev? If it's only a minimal amount, then we're not going to require you to schlep all the way back to Yerushalayim. So what is choshev? So this is our problem. The opinions seem to be reversed. Why? Because Rabbi Meir, who in our Mishnah says kezayis, over here says kebeitza. And Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Zeba Kazayas, he was the one who said with regard to Zimun, you have to eat a kebeitza, and all of a sudden here he says, a mere kazayas. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yechana, we have no choice but to say, Muchlefes Hashita. Muchlefes Hashita. Rashi says, by the way, Zevzeh chometz ubosor kodesh. The two cases that we've mentioned, going back for chometz or going back for bosor kodesh, what is an amount that is considered choshev, either kazayis or kabeitza? The opinions don't really seem to fit in. In fact, they're the exact opposite of what we learned in our Mishnah. Mukhlefes hashita. What does it mean, mukhlefes hashita? We have no choice but to switch the opinions, and you're quite right. If our Mishnah says Rav Meir says a kazayis, that's what it should say over here as well. And any other version is reversed, it's not correct, and we'll have to switch it back. However, Abaya Omar, now it doesn't say Omar Abaya. So if it says Abaya Omar, we know he's coming to disagree with what we've said. And he says, no! La'oilam lo'i tepuch. There's actually no necessity at all to switch the shittas. It's not a machloikas, it's not a stira at all. You can leave Zimun as it is, and you can leave Chometz and Bosor Kodesh as it is. With regards to Bosor Kodesh, so Reb Meir was of the amount you have to go back, or in the case of Chometz, only if it's a Kabeitza, and Rebbe says it's a Kazayis. So yes, let's start in the other direction. We began with Zimun, and we said if it says in the Mishnah Kazayis or Kabeitza, then that seems to define what a choshev amount of food is. And yet with regard to chometz and kodshim, it seems to be the opposite. Says the Gemara, fine, start in the opposite direction then. Start with chometz and kodesh. What does it say with regard to chometz and kodesh? According to Rabbi Meir, what is choshev? A kabeitza. A kabeitza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how much is it? A kazayis. That is the definition of choshev. Don't look at our Mishnah for defining what's choshev. Look over there for defining what's choshev. Okay, I'll begin there. I still have the same contradiction, whichever way you begin. No. If I begin over there and I say, listen, with regard to the general question, what's considered choshev, Rav Meir holds a kabeitza, Rav Yehuda holds a kazayis. Now, when you come to our Mishnah, which is not a general case, it's talking specifically about Zimun. Zimun is an exception. Why is Zimun an exception? Says the Gemara, and Hacha over here, what does over here mean with regard to Zimun and benching? Bikroi pligi. They are having a machloikas with regard to a posuk. Rav Meir Sova, do you know why Rav Meir in our Mishnah says that Zimun will be recited over a kazayis? Now, why a kazayis? Surely Rav Meir was the one who said with regard to chometz and kodshim that it's got to be a kebetza. A choshev amount is a betza. So if a choshev amount is a kebetza, why over here do you do Zimun and Birkas Hamazon even on a smaller amount of a kazayis? So the Gemara says, because the Torah says, v'ochalto v'sovoto uveirachto. Do you know how Rav Meir learns that posuk? V'ochalto zu achila v'sovoto zu shtia v'achila v'kazayis. We know that b'chol ha-Torah kula, when it comes to achila, what always constitutes an achila? A kazayis. The Torah says don't eat bosel cholov, it means don't eat a kazayis. The Torah says don't eat nevela, means don't eat a kazayis. Happens to be, by the way, in brackets, in parenthesis, you're not allowed to eat even less than that as well, by the way. Chatzi sheh. Might be drabonon, might be derais, if it's not the main issa. Wherever it says achila in the Torah, it means kazayis. Now, with regard to chometz and bosor kodesh, there's nothing to do with achila over there. What are we talking about? With regard to chometz, no, we're talking about eating the chometz, we're talking about the issa to own chometz. How much you have to go back for to get rid of. With regard to bosor kodeshim, we're also not talking about eating it. What are we talking about? What amount of meat requires you to burn it? That's nothing to do with achila. So there, we're having a general discussion about what amount of food is considered choshev, but not with regard to achila. But in our Mishnah, with regard to Zimun, what is the discussion? Achila. And it says in the Torah, Va'ochalta, zu achila. We know what achila means, v'chalatera kula. What is that? A kazayis. Therefore, there's no contradiction. You don't need to reverse the shittas. I can quite happily hold that v'chalatera kula, when you're talking about food, non-eating related, then a kabeitza is choshuv. But over here, when you're talking about eating, then a kazayis is always constitutes achila. What about Rabbi Yehuda? The Yehuda Sava, no. V'ochalta v'savata achila sheyesh bo sviya v'ezoizu kebeitza. What does that mean? Again, if you ask Rabbi Yehuda b'cholat erakula, what is a choshev amount of food? For example, with regard to chametz and with regard to kochim, what will he tell you? No?
A
kazayis. When it came to basar kochim and chametz, Rabbi Yehuda says a kazayis. So why all of a sudden, when it comes to benching, do you need to eat more than the amount? There is a special pasuk. Because there's the sabbata. If it would just say v'ochalta, then I'd be the first one to admit, oh, achila, no, achila is always a kazayis. But it doesn't say that. It says v'ochalta, v'savata. It's not any old eating. It's the amount of eating that would make you satisfied. Oh, that's really a kebetza. So what about Rav Meir? How does Rav Meir learn that pasuk of v'savata? Shtir. It's not referring to an achila sheyesh bo shtir. So according to Rav Meir, you have to read the pasuk like this. V'ochalta, stop. The Savata is not halacha, no relationship, no connection whatsoever to v'achila. So what is v'achalta? Kuntra Meir? Kazayis. V'chalata irakula might well be a kebetza, but with regard to achila, it's a kazayis. Yeah, but this is v'savata, that's nothing to do with that, that's a different halacha. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't read it v'achalta, stop. He reads it v'achalta v'savata. You have to eat that amount which would make you satisfied. Oh, how much is that? That's really a kebetza. And if it is a kebetza, so made on that type of amount, that's when you're going to be mechuyev in Birkas HaMazon. So it turns out that when you're discussing Birkas HaMazon and Zimun, it might be less and it might be more than Bostar Kodshim and Chometz. Again, according to Rabbi Meir, normally B'chalat HaYerkula, what is a significant amount of food? A kebetza. Whereas over here, why is it less? Because it says v'ochalta. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the exact opposite. Normally a significant amount of food is a kazayis. Over here, the reason why you need a kebetza is because it says v'ochalta v'savata. Okay, that is the sugya that is relevant to us. Now, let's have a look at Tosfos, Rabbi Meir, because that's what Rabbi Kveig instructed us to do. At my bar mitzvah, my drasha was Rabbi Kveiga Sofik. Rabbi Kveiga Sofik. What happens if a bar mitzvah boy is becoming bar mitzvah tonight? 7 o'clock is his birthday. Why 7 o'clock? Because that's when he's going to be in Ashmoshes or Laila. Okay. At 6:30 in the evening, he's still a cotton. And he washes, and he has a bread-based meal, and he finishes eating the meal at 6:50. And he hasn't yet benched. The clock moves forward, it's now 7 o'clock, Mazel Tov, he puts on his hat and his jacket for the first time in his life, and he's now a godil. And he still feels very satisfied from the eating when he was a cotton. Rector of Kiveiga, is he chayev to bench midrabbanan or min hatayra? The ochalta was a drabonon. The vesavata was a deraisa. So you're going to tell me, well, who in the world cares? What does it make a difference? I mean, either way, he has to bench. Says Rabbi Kveiga, no, the big difference would be, can he be moitzi a godel? A godel is definitely chayiv min hatayra. If this cotton is now, having become a godl, also chayv min ha-teira, bless you, then he can be moitzi a godl, and if not, then he can't. There will be another difference. What happens if you eat and you can't remember if you've benched or not? What's the halacha?
deraisa.
You've got a bench again. Why? Because it's deraisa. A deraisa. Sofik deraisa l'chumra. What happens if a cotton doesn't remember if he benched? It's a big discussion, by the way. But let's assume that he's only a drabonon, and therefore sofik drabonon l'chumra. So in this case, the bar mitzvah boy comes to nacht, he puts on his hat and jacket, and he can't remember if he benched. Does he have to bench again or not? If you say that we go with the v'stavata, mischayv min ha-teira, so safik min ha-teira l'chumra. If you go with the v'yochalta, then that was my bar mitzvah drasha. You can ask even a bigger question. What happens if he did bench? He did bench, but he still feels satisfied at night. So if you're going to go with the savata, he's got a chiyav min ha-teira to bench because he's got the savata. What are you going to tell me? Yeah, but he already benched. But he only benched as a cotton, as a drabonon. Who says benching that you did when you were a cotton can help for when you're a gadol? There was a great goyim and tzaddik in this country. A terrible tragedy. He was passed away about 3 years ago. A cousin of my family, one of the biggest goyim in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Rav Avrom Genachovsky. I'm sure goyim adir. I could sit here all day tell you stories about his goyimness in Midas. The most phenomenal Baal Midas you ever heard of. But he was a huge Talmud Chacham. He was a cousin of our family. So one of our family bar mitzvahs, I've got an uncle, as you know, Bnei Brak, Zanger, and he was at the bar mitzvah, and in walked Rav Avrom Genachovsky in the middle of the bar mitzvah boys' drosha. What did bar mitzvah boys speak about? Also this type of shayla. Can, if a cotton does a mitzvah, does that help for when he's a gadol if he's still chayiv in that mitzvah? Can, when what you do as a cotton, does that help for when you're a gadol? And he gave a whole drosha, rise, the can of a cup. Sits down. And he turned to Rav Avrom Genachovsky, and obviously he said, well, we're mechabed you to say a drosha. So it's always the same spiel. Drosha, well, I've got nothing to say. I mean, you call out Terekula. I've got nothing to say. What shall I say then? No, fine. He stood up. And he says, I must be very honest. I listened to the Bamitsa boy's drosha and I didn't understand a word. Total silence and all. Not quite your standard opening to the Bamitsa boy's guest speaker's drosha. So I'm sorry to say I don't really understand what you're talking about. This is why. You said the bar mitzvah boy just gave a whole drasha about what you do as a cotton, does that help for when you become a gadol? He says, I don't understand the whole drasha. When did this boy learn this drasha? When he was a cotton, and now he's a gadol. And look how beautifully he said the drasha. So you see quite clearly that what you do as a cotton does help you for when you're a gadol, so I don't understand the whole drasha. What's he debating at all? I'll call Pony Vaifan. I remember on my bar mitzvah boy day, I was on a Monday morning, I lay in shul, came home quickly, we had a minion of men in the house, with a small siddur on the day. And my father took me on a train up to Manchester that very morning, on the day of my bar mitzvah, to see the Mash Rosh Hashiva, Rav Yehuda Zeiv Segel, Zeiv Tzadik, the Kodesh Levracha. If ever you met him, it was I felt you were talking to a malach. Not that I'm Rogel to speak to Malachi, but I imagine it probably feels something similar to that. So he asked me, "Nu, so what's your bar mitzvah drasha about?" So I said, "My mitzvah drasha is about what happens if a boy eats a meal and he just becomes nat." So he said to me, "Ah, Rabbi Kivayga Sofik." And much to my father's horror, apparently I said to Rosh Hashanah, "Oh, really? Wow, how do you know?" There's conflicting versions of what happened. Did I say it to the Rosh Hashiva, or did I say it to my father when we left the Rosh Hashiva? I'm not sure. It could be I didn't say it to Rosh Hashiva. It could be I said it to my father when we left the Rosh Hashiva. How did he know? So we have it because of the Rosh Hashiva. That's how he knows. I'll call upon him open. I think we've slightly veered off our subject. Fine. So we have the pasuk v'ochalta v'savata. So now, what boils down? It comes to the final discussion. We have a shaila. How are you going to learn the pasuk v'ochalta v'savata? According to Rav Meir, v'ochalta, stop. Kazayis. According to Rav Yehuda, v'ochalta v'savata, it's got to be the type of achila which is satiating, which makes you satisfied, and that's got to be a kibbutz. Says Tosfos. Rabbi Meir Sova Vachaltazu Achila V'Achila B'Kazayis. And because Achila is a Kazayis, that's why as soon as you've eaten a Kazayis, you're Mechuyev to bench. Says Tosfos, you should know V'Oymeri. The Ri says Dahani Kroi Asmachta Ba'Alma Ninhu. We've had the principle of asmachta before. What does asmachta mean? It's not a real drosha. It's only a din midrabanon asmachta, from the word soimach, leaning. They're leaning on the posuk, as if to say the posuk teaches me this halacha. But it's only leaning on the posuk. We're not really deriving it from the posuk. What does that mean? Why? The midoy raisa ba'inon sevia gemura. Crucial words. Because certainly min ha'toira, says Tosfos, and he backs this up from a Gemara in Daf Chof Amud Beis. Certainly min ha'toira, you're only mechuyev to bench if you eat what amount? Sevia gemura. So when we see a Gemara like this in Daf Mem Tes on the base, as if it's that song, it sounds like as if there's a machloikas, kazayas, kabeta, yeah, posuk, no posuk. It's not to be taken all that literally. Why? Because definitely min ha-toirah, how much do you have to eat in order to mechuyev to bench? Sevia gemura. How much is a sevia gemura? At least a kabeta, probably more. Nat says places because of Omar, Parak Nishamesu, etc., etc., etc. And places then continues with a whole discussion to bring proofs one way or another. In other words, min ha-toira, how much do you have to eat in order to mechuyev to bench? Sevia gemura, fully satiated. So what's our discussion in the Gemara then? Midrabanon. Midrabanon. The Reb Meir is of the opinion that if you have a kazayis, you mechuyev to bench. Don't make the mistake of thinking that he holds you mechuyev to bench min ha-toirah because it says va'ochalto, and va'ochalto is min ha-toirah a kazayis. It's not a real drosha. It's an asmachta. Min ha-toirah, it's got to be much more than a kazayis. It's got to be kedei sevia. Midrabanon, we blame it, as it were, on this pasuk, and we say, even if you eat less, i.e. a kazayis. So for the whole discussion in our Gemara is a discussion midrabanon. But min ha-toirah, how much you have to eat? Kedei sevia, non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. Now, Tosfos, I don't get involved in all of the Tosfos, because Tosfos just brings one proof, this proof, backwards and forwards. Okay, so we have now two separate shailas. Shaila number one, how much must you eat in order to mechuyev to bench? And the answer is, min ha-toirah, sevia. Shaila number two, yeah, but how much do you have to eat in order to mechuyev to bench? Midrabanon. That is a machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, whether it's a kazayis or a kebet. So, and what do we pass in la locha? If you look at Tosfos says mufurosh v'kaim alon v'kazayis, we hold it's a kazayis, and Tosfos brings a whole bunch of proofs. Now, if you look on the first wide line, at the end of the first wide line, Tosfos says v'chein leel. So too in daf Lamad Chesam Abbas, and that was the Gemara that we've learned. Gabe, with regard to the Sugya of She'ochal Kazayis Meliach, it was quite clear that how much is, are you mechuyev to eat there? A Kazayis. Remember the whole discussion of the Gemara. Do you have a Kazayis with the pit, without the pit?
It didn't say kebeitza. What did it say? Kazayis. By the way, let's not make a mistake over here. You don't bench after eating a zayis. Zayis is not bread. Zayis is fruit. What bracha do you make? Bracha achrayna? Bracha achrayna ala michya or ala eitz. But the same parameters that apply to benching apply also to bracha achas me'ein shorish. Because that's what it means. Remember, we'll see in this Hashem in this parak a lot of discussion. Bracha achas me'ein shorish. It's like the three brachas. It's all halachas of the three brachas. And what did it say? What did it say in our Gemara with regard to the olive? The whole discussion revolved around one thing. Did he eat a kazayis or he didn't eat a kazayis? So I see that the halacha lemaisa lemaisa lemaisa. How much do you have to eat in order to mechuyev benching at least midrabbanan? The answer is a kazayis. But minatayra says Tosis, non-debatable. This is not the subject of a discussion in brachas achmem tesachodes. If you want to know how much you have to eat in order to mechuyev benching minatayra, kedei sviya gemura. Midrabbanan is a discussion kazayis the kabeitza, and it happens to be that we're machmen, we hold a kazayis. Now, says Tosfos, v'chein posak, bahag. Who's the bahag? The Baal Halachas Gedolos, the Rach. Who's the Rach? Rabbeinu Chananel. The Shiltas, all of these Rishonim, they all hold that what? Halacha lemaisa, how much you have to eat? Eikos dais. Okay. Now, says Tosfos, on the Indian Shtia, what about with regard to shtia? Everything we've spoken about until this point, all is discussing food, not drink. What about shtia? Oy mari di yesh lahachmir ulvari cholov afilu bepochois mimole lugma. Even if... doesn't say it's mashma any amount, even if it's less than a maloi lugmav, you will still be mechuyev to say bracha achreina. Which bracha achreina? Talking about shtia over here. By rein nefashos. Ah, so who's talking over here? Three. Now we understand why Rabbi Kivega sent us here. Because this is the same Ri that we bumped into in Daf Lama Tesla Madalef, who said that Bayrei Nefoshes is not a Brocha Chashuva and therefore does not require an Achila Chashuva. Therefore, even though, for example, when it comes to Yayin, for example, when it comes to Yayin, then what? What's the bracha after Yayin? Achas Me'ein Shalosh, you have to use a proper amount. Meloi Lugmav. When it comes to Bori Nefashos, then what?
Any amount.
Even? A drop. That's what it sounds like. Now everybody here should be jumping up and down in their seats. So let's just continue. Tosfos to Yayin. By the way, next to the words Ule Inyan Shtia, we see again there is a note, and it sends us to Rabbi Kivega. We'll see that in a moment, but let's just finish Tosfos. Ule Inyan Shtia Omeri Diyesh Laachmi Ulevari Chalav Afilu Bepochis Melei Lugmav Afal Gav Ule Inyan Yema Kippurim Leisa. Even though with regard to Chus Yom Kippur it's different, Tosfos says that's not our discussion. Yom Kippur is different. Okay. So what is the Ri telling us? And that is why Rabbi Kivega is sending us over here. Moirav Raboisai, everybody should be jumping up and down. Are the two Ris, the Ri and Daf Lamed Test Omad Aleph, and the Ri and Daf Mem Test Omad Beis, are they compatible or are they contradictory? What did the Ri say with regard to Lama Tes Lama Dalef? Tosfos had just finished saying, Kosel Bracha, Muloi Lugmav, Okay. Vahari Hoya Oimah, the third, second narrow line. Boyer Nefasha is given the love, Brocha Chashuvahi, Afilu Babotsu Mishiura, Vahorchin Boyer Nefasha.
You don't say a Brocha.
Mevarachina, you make a bracha of Boyer Nefasha, even what? Even if?
It's less.
A little bit.
A little bit of what?
Less.
A little bit of what?
That's
Shtiya or Achila? Why do you assume Shtiya? Why are you assuming Shtiya?
Because you're talking about mobile food.
He said it's Boyer Nefashos. When I read this Tosfos for the first time, it sounded like that the Ri was telling you a general rule whenever you make a bracha of Boyer Nefashos, whether drinking or eating. So not only if I have a small sip of water, but also if I have a small piece of apple or a small piece of meat. What is the after bracha there? Boyer Nefashos. It's not a bracha chashuva. If it's not a bracha chashuva, I don't eat an achila chashuva. So any amount would require Boyer Nefashos. That's what it sounds like. Says Rabbi Kveiga, have a look in Tosfos Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. What do we see in Mem Tes Amud Beis? How does the Ri express it over here? Oleinian Shtia. You should make a bracha on less. Why in Yishtia? Because Boyer Nefashos is not a bracha chashuva. Well then, if that's the case, then even achila as well. So why in Yishtia? That, presumably, is why Rabbi Kveiga sent us to this Tosfos.
But it's also the Mamet test. Tosfos is talking about Shtiyah.
That's true.
And then he brings it around.
True. So then why did he talk about Boyer Nefashos then? He should have said, Shtiyah, you should make a bracha less on the Boyer Nefashos.
Tosfos said Shtiyah right before. So obviously,
why does the Ri mention Boyer Nefashos? What's that got to do with it?
Tosfos is bringing a point about Shtiyah right before.
True.
And the Ri to
explain
speak
what?
About what he was just talking about. Tosfos was just
What's saying. It got to do with the fact that it's Boyer Nefashos? Why is that significant?
So you say Boyer Nefashos after Shtiyah.
And you also say Boyer Nefashos on meat. So why do I only have to eat or drink?
Tosfos wasn't talking about meat. So
again. Why do I only have to drink a drop of water to mechayev the bracha afreinu? Why? That's the Ri's chiddush. You're saying, listen, the subject matter is drinking. That's what he's talking about. Let's continue with that. If that's the case, I'm asking you a question. Why is it only applicable to drinking? Do you have any logic to explain that? All other foods, I bench on bread after a specific amount. If I'm having grapes or wine, a specific amount. All of a sudden, water is different. Why is water different? So Tosfos said why. Because the after bracha is Boyer Nefashos. That's the logic. If that's the logic, there's no difference in drinking and eating. Who cares if the subject matter is drinking? But the logic that he gave doesn't in any way distinguish between achila and shtiyah. The Ri L'Chaira is coming with a general principle. Boyer Nefashos is a not a chashuv bracha. Well, if it's not a chashuv bracha, why when it comes to eating should be any different? That's how I understood Tosfos initially. If I see Tosfos in Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis that says clearly that it only refers to Shtiyah, then I'm going to have to say like Rav Nachman. I don't want to have a contradiction in the Ri. That even though, and that's what Rav Kveiga I guess is troubled by, even though the logic that he gave was with regard to Boyer Nefashos, and that L'Chaira should therefore apply equally to Achila as it does to Shtiyah, there's no reason to distinguish. But what should I do, says Rabbi Kveiga? Have a look in another 10 daf, in daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, and you'll see clearly that what does the Ri say is only with regard to Shtiyah. So therefore, the $64 million question is one word: why? Why Shtiyah? Ah, because the bracha is Boyer Nefashos, so is Achila. A piece of meat, you have an apple, you have a cup of water, you have your whatever it may be.
As long as it's not lechem or chamishas minei dogon or shuras aminim, the bracha is always bore nefashis. If bore nefashis is not a bracha chashuva, and that therefore says you don't need to have an achila chashuva, what in the world does it make a difference if it's achila or shvila? That lechayra all lies in the note that Rav Kveger sent us to. And that's Lama Testament, please. Lama Testament, Bible. Trying to see if anybody else is. Anybody else points this out? No. Now, just before we finish off, let's just have a look at one more Rabbi Kveger. We saw in that Memtes on the base that the Lashon of Tosfos was somewhat strange. Tosfos says, "Le'inyan shtiya oimari de yesh lahachmir o levarich." What does that mean, yesh lahachmir o levarich? Tosfos Memtes on the base. However small you drink, you should be machmir to borach. Now, what does it mean, yesh lahachmir? You should be machmir. It's a chumra, it sounds like. It's really a topic. Oh. I'm not sure. You should be machmir. That is highly, highly problematic. You know why it's problematic? Look at Rabbi Kveger in the margin there. Have you got Rabbi Kveger there? And Gilin Ashas again there? Zok Rabbi Kveger, Toysus, Divamaskov, Romeo, Stovar, Leinian, Shtia, Oimari, Diech, Lahachmu, Lavorech, Kuf Lamed, Koshali. Have you got it? The second note there. Koshali. Heich, Shaykh, Lahachmir, Lavorech. How on earth can you be Machmir to make a bracha? We have a principle, Hobba Bracha, Zekul Hokel, the Tzorachim. We have a principle, Safik Brachas Lahakil. So if you say that I'm absolutely convinced this is the right bracha, so be it. But if you say Lahachmir, what does that clearly indicate? That you're not sure, and therefore me Safik, you should make a bracha. Says Rav Kveger, sorry, that's not the rule. The rule is when it comes to brachas, when you have a Safik, you don't make a bracha. I can taste that you do. Sorry. This is the second Rabbi Kveger we've seen this week. Remember the first one? First one was very bothered with Rashi. Rashi says we can't be talking about prunes because prunes is ha'etz. Rabbi Kveger, what are you talking about? Shlokes. Shlokes is not ha'etz. If vegetables become shahakol, then so do fruits. What did Rabbi Kveger say? Tzorachim. Here we have another Rabbi Kveger. How can Tosfos say that? Chomra, you should be mach mitzvah kebracha. When it comes to brachas, the rule is the exact opposite. When you're not sure what to do, when you come to the suffix, you don't make a bracha. So it's not big, it's not big. Okay, everybody, we'll hold it over here. It being well, was the end of the last week of Zman. Wish you all firstly good chedesh. Rashi Shetanet, who is interested. And the last week of Zman is next week.